The 100 Years' War, The Battle of Crecy, Part 4, The Aftermath, Part 1. After the final French charge, led by blind King John of Bohemia, the French effort ended. Far from behind the English lines, their horses were brought forward, and this time it's going to be pursuit time. The English men-at-arms then remounted and charged the surviving groups of French horsemen on the battlefield, and the infantry, which was still standing in their lines, behind them. All around the French infantry, French troops were fleeing into the darkening night. The majority of the French infantry simply ran for it as soon as they saw the English cavalry coming towards them. Philip VI was left with no one around them except a handful of companions, his personal bodyguard, and some infantry from the city of Orléans. Philip was briefly caught up in a ferocious battle. His standard bearer was actually killed beside him. Philip himself had two horses killed out from under him, and he received an arrow wound in the face before he was finally extricated by John of Hainault. John himself had lost most of his retinue, and at least one horse was killed out from under him, but he was able to lead the king off the battlefield under the cover of darkness and took him to a village a few miles away where they found a fortified house. Behind, King Philip VI had left his royal standard and the Oriflamme of Saint Denis, the sacred banner of the Abbey of Saint Denis in Paris. Now, I haven't talked about this before, so I'll mention it briefly here. The banner, normally, when it was used in battle, was raised at the beginning, and it signified that during the battle, as long as it was standing, no prisoners were to be taken. But once it was lowered, then you could take prisoners. The tactic was supposed to strike fear in the hearts of the enemy, especially nobles, who could usually expect to be taken alive for ransom. The Oriflamme in French meant any banner that had a pointed end on it. It is first mentioned in the Chanson de Roland as a royal banner of Charlemagne, first called the Romaine and then later Montjoie. Legend has it that Charlemagne carried it to the Holy Land in response to a prophecy regarding a knight possessing a golden lance from which flames would burn and drive out the Saracens. Now, of course, Charlemagne never went to the Holy Land on a crusade. Maybe he counted it going into Spain fighting Saracens. At any rate, the lance was originally the important object, with the banner simply a decoration. But that changed over time. Louis VI replaced the banner of St. Martin of Tours in 1124 with what we were using at the Battle of Crecy, the banner of St. Denis, which had originally been placed on his tomb by the Merovingian King Dagobert, according to legend. It was recorded being carried in the battle in the following locations. The Battle of Bovines, 1214, French victory. On the Seventh Crusade in 1248, they lost. At Mons-au-Pavillon in 1304, the French lost it. At Crecy in 1346, lost it again. At Poitiers, 1356, lost it again. At Rosbeck in 1382, the French won. I believe that's a Du Guesclin battle that we'll get to later on. And then finally at Agincourt, 1415, it was lost again. Now, this was the last time that it was used in battle. It remained, or a version of it, remained in the Abbey of Saint-Denis until the 18th century. It basically was a red banner that had Saint Denis on one side and a flaming sun with flames coming out the bottom of it on the other in gold. And so that's the Oriflamme. Now at dawn on August the 27th, 1346, at least 2,000 French infantry, escorted by a detachment of men-at-arms under the Duke of Lorraine, stumbled onto the Crecy battlefield. They knew nothing about what had happened. They thought the English cavalry that suddenly appeared out of the mist were friendly forces. They weren't. The Earls of Suffolk, Warwick, and Northampton and their men scattered the French in a single charge and then pursued them, fleeing across the battlefield into the countryside. Of course, the English then killed as many as they could catch and then ran down various dazed group of French men-at-arms who had managed to escape the slaughter of Crecy the day before. It was not until late in the morning that Edward III knew the full extent of the English victory. Their own casualties were extremely light. A roll call showed 40 men-at-arms missing. The number of dead among the infantry and archers must have been higher, but nobody really counted them. Various accounts put the English losses between 100 and 300 out of 7,000 to 15,000, with 9,000 generally being the accepted size of the entire army, which would give them losses of less than 3%. And nobody tabulates wounded at this particular time. French losses were absolutely catastrophic. Now, Edward III had been determined not to allow the main point to be lost in the scramble for loot. So at the beginning of the battle, orders were given that during the battle, there would be no pillaging of the dead bodies and no quarter for the living. Once the battle was over, that was revoked. On the 27th, heralds passed through the battlefield, making an attempt to identify the dead by their arms. Where Edward, the Prince of Wales, the Black Prince, where his line stood, they counted 1,543 French knights and squires had been killed. Hundreds more lay in the fields where they'd been killed during the battle and in the pursuit. And again, no one bothered to count the infantry, or for that matter, the Genoese, although the Genoese would have had pretty expensive equipment with the crossbow. But for the most part, the equipment of the infantry was not worth looting, so it was not worth counting. The heralds had not yet mastered their arcane science of figuring out who was who, and their lists were full of errors at this point. But we do know of some of the famous dead. Obviously, the blind King John of Bohemia. There were 8 princes of the blood that were killed. The Count of Alencon, the battle is his fault. He was the one who came up with the idea, let's just charge. Louis, Count of Blois, that was a nephew of the king. John, Count of Harcourt. Duke of Lorraine, who was married to Philip's niece. Louis of Nevers, which is the Count of Flanders, he was killed. Their bodies were set aside and given a decent burial with the English dead. The rest were dumped in grave pits that were dug by the returning local peasants. Now, estimates from the French losses. So the losses are going to be probably 4,000 at the low end, 6,000 at the high end. That's out of 20,000 to 25,000 men. So they're going to lose at least 20% of their forces. So that's pretty steep, and it may have been more than 20% of their men-at-arms in place. But that's the way we deal with it. The sources for this, the Hundred Years' War by Sumption, the Trial by Battle. We have the Hundred Years' War by Perrois, and the Hundred Years' War by Nylands. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, pick up a CD or so, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.